The word.
Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
Are you ready to digress? Right as we begin the program on a prediction Thursday?
Sure.
All right.
I love it.
I don't know. I can admit, first of all, happy Halloween. Second of all, the reason for my digression is that...
What's your costume?
Yeah. Sam in Chicago sent this email. So, Sam, please know that we do read everything. But he says, we saw recently that Bill was a pirate, Brady was a lion. What would you all be for Halloween if you dressed up? And I think that that's an outstanding question because today is October the 31st. Or 31st, whichever
like
way you prefer. Yeah, that's what
how they say it in Texas.
The 31th, 32th, or the 1th and the 2th and the 3th of the month.
Can't
right?
say that in Maine because they don't have any teeth.
Oh!
Wow.
I thought that was West Virginia.
Gratuitous shot in
West
Maine.
Virginia,
my God.
Mississippi, Tennessee.
Wow.
Boston Strong here. We're all New Englanders.
No
my
kidding.
God.
Thank you very much. Yeah. All right. What would I be? There's no doubt what I would be. I would be a superhero.
Which
because,
one?
Probably Superman, although I've really taken a liking to Batman, because of the Batman trilogy with, the recent movies out.
With Christian Bale.
Yeah, Christian Bale. I'm a big fan. I think he did a really good job portraying Batman. So, I would have to say it's probably one or the other. It probably depends on, which suit makes me look better.
Yeah, for Eric and my sake, could you skip the tights maybe?
The tights. Okay, well then I probably want to go Batman.
Or just wear a really long cape and
just cover everything?
Cover that thing up a little bit.
That's fine. What's wrong with my legs? You don't like my legs? I work my legs out.
Leave that for Robin.
Okay.
We'll save that for Robin.
That's
you should go as Batman and
fair.
Robin.
That's a good idea, too.
Wow. That's a good idea right there.
See? Okay, Eric wins.
But I don't know if she'd want to be your sidekick. She's the boss.
She would sidekick his ass. That's what would happen.
Oh! Wow. You're on today. What happened?
I don't know. Wait a minute. Hey, hold on now. Wait just a second there.
You just jumped right into it.
I really did.
Yeah, really. I resemble that remark. Oh. Don't get no respect. No respect at all. Batman and Robin. Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's the choice. How about you?
I think, the easiest one for me is also the best one that I've ever been, which was Charlie Brown.
Really?
Yeah, because I already have...
The bald head.
I have that. I have the personality... of Charlie Brown. I have the foibles. I used to be a kicker.
And you swung and missed every time you tried to kick.
All the time. Yes.
Do you have the sweater with the zigzag at the bottom?
I had a t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
I went in my mid-20s the last time I really dressed up at a Halloween party.
That's awesome.
I had the yellow t-shirt with the black zigzag
That's
stripes.
That's awesome.
I had black shorts.
Nice.
Yellow socks,
mm-hmm.
Brown shoes, the whole thing, the whole getup.
I like it.
It was perfect.
Was your dog named Snoopy?
I didn't have.
Oh,
I was the only
time?
One that dressed up
okay.
as the
right.
Peanuts character.
Well, that's a good one. That's a good one. Kevin, yo, pay attention.
I am.
Okay. What would you be if you dress up for Halloween?
Told you, the Geico camel.
Oh, you'd be the Geico camel?
I love the camel.
Nice.
Oh, boy.
So that's why you played that again yesterday a little bit.
Yeah, I love
okay.
the camel.
All right. So see, I've got another follower for the Geico camel.
I have this thing, John. Ever since I was a kid, I love talking animals.
Oh, so then you would have been a real fan of Mr. Ed. Do you know who Mr. Ed is?
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Really?
That type of thing. I never watched it as a kid, but I was
Well, no, you weren't alive when he
was
on.
Before my time.
Yeah, that was way before your time.
What was the guy's name? Oh,
Wilbur.
Wilbur, that's
yeah,
what it was.
Yeah, that was his owner.
His catchphrase. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, Wilbur. Yeah, that's exactly right. Wow. So he'd be the Geico talking camel. Well, that's part of what we want to ask you today. You know what we would be. Now, what would you be for Halloween if you dressed up or if you are dressing up? We welcome you into the playbook here for Prediction Thursday. And by that, I mean, of course, it is Thursday, which means we need your predictions. Last week, if by some chance you haven't tuned in at all this week,
what's wrong with you?
First of all, I would say, okay, were you sick? But we're glad you're here with us today. And we gave away five, count them, five
I know. That's
yearbooks.
Incredible. That's after having never given away
Never
any.
Given one away in over 2 years of conducting the contest on Thursdays, where we started giving away the prizes for a correct score prediction. We gave away 5 in 1 week, which is remarkable. So we've gotten the go-ahead to continue it for another week until we give away another 5 or 10 more, and then we might have to pull the plug on the thing. So get in early and often, or vote early and often, as the saying goes in Rhode Island and Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And send us your email, predictionswebradio@patriots.com. You can also pick up the phone and call in right now, 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. Or you can send it via social media, at JR Broadcaster. That's the Twitter handle. Thank you for the new follows again this week to everyone who followed. And I'm still in the quest for 2K. Still pushing for the quest. We're a little closer. I think I need about 140-ish. So I'm at 1860-something.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so I'm looking for another 140 Twitter followers. I need to get to 2K. If I can get to 2K before the end of the year, I'll be very happy. And I, you know, I hope I do. We'll see if it happens. I think that, you know,
over
hopefully
the next 2 months.
Yeah, should be able
should
to,
be
right?
Able to.
I hope so.
Yeah, it's only like one a day.
I've decided though, I am going to come up with a special prize for the person who gives me 2K over the top. I'm still developing it. It really depends a lot on where this person is located, to be honest with you.
Really?
Because
it,
if they're close
is it
by,
edible? Is it one of?
It could be. No? It could be. We might have Miss Robin come up with a cranberry, you know, bread.
Easy. We don't want to give that.
I understand. We don't want. Well, you know what though? You never know. She needs a little cottage industry. She'd like to be able to retire from teaching. So you know, maybe we start marketing. Okay. You know, Miss Robin's cranberry.
Miss Robin's cranberry bread.
Yeah. Put it in bakeries or shelves, and
okay.
Yeah, it's possible.
Put it in my belly.
Yeah, put it in my belly. So I'm going to work on that for my 2,000th follower. I'm going to come up with a nice, you know, little prize pack of some kind. All right. I am promising that right here on the radio.
All right.
Whoever gets me to 2K and puts me over the top, it's going to be nice. Going to be good.
Okay.
All right. So that we're still working on. And don't forget John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, the last name on Facebook. And I've actually picked up a nice number of new Facebook followers this week, you know, Patriots fans. So that's pretty cool as well.
You know what's odd though? When you, each day you have like a, either a net gain or a net loss.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So the day you actually reach whatever milestone, in your case it's 2,000 or whatever, the person who gets you to 2,000, a few hours later, you could be down at 1998 again.
That's
you know
also
I mean?
True.
So it's,
that's also
it's
true.
Tough.
So what I'll end up doing is that when I get to 2000,
yeah.
I'm going to have the handle and the address and be able to hopefully direct message with someone that gets me to 2000.
Yeah.
And I'm going to set it aside.
Yeah.
I have to because
right.
if I lose somebody, and let's just say, look, as long as I can, you know, keep it at
you're
that
the
per
first
se,
one to get me to.
You're
2000.
The first one to get me to the number you're in.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
So even if I lose a couple and go back under two,
gotcha.
You got me there to begin with. And I think that's the fair way to handle it, right?
Sure.
So, all right. So that's coming up. Something to look forward to. We have a lot more to look forward to. We'll talk about it later in the show as well. Next week for the uninitiated, since next week's the bye week. Right? Okay. So in addition to your score prediction and who you would dress up as or what you're going to dress up as for Halloween, also just, you know, what's your favorite candy? What did you like in the candy bag? Come Halloween.
My favorite candy bar of all time is whatchamacallit.
Okay. Yeah.
You don't really get a lot of those in trick-or-treating.
No, you don't.
Because they don't typically come
in the little snack sizes.
Sometimes they do in like the variety packs,
yeah,
but
right.
more often than not, they're just at like the convenience store at those little the racks right in front of the cash register.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you'd normally see them.
Mm-hmm.
But those are my absolute favorite candies of all time.
Those are good.
Whatchamacallits.
Yeah, those are good.
But I'll settle for Kit Kats or Twix.
I got to admit, I'm very old school. I like Mounds.
I like Mounds too.
I'm very old school
with
my Halloween candy. Yeah.
Oh,
where's Kevin? Where's the drum?
Wasn't listening.
Did you hear that?
Nah, never mind.
I heard Mounds.
He said. Oh, and I like the candy too.
Oh, I like that.
See?
That's too late.
There we go.
That's too late.
That's an Andy joke, though.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true.
Doesn't mean turning more
like
it.
No, you turning more like Andy now.
No.
I think you need to swell your hat size about two
like
sizes.
Breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
We understand.
No, Mounds are good though. I love
coconut.
Anything coconut and chocolate.
Very, very creamy, chewy coconut. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good stuff. All right, so that's the old school favorite. So I like the Mounds bar. You like whatchamacallits.
Yeah.
Kev, do you want to contribute to the candy idea here?
Let's see. I'm trying to think.
What did you get? And what did you like? And what did you eat first when you went trick or treating?
Now I'm a little younger.
I understand.
It's boring.
I understand.
But I love Reese's.
Yeah. That's fine. Reese's
Those
Pieces.
Those were around when we were kids.
Pieces or the peanut butter cups. I liked them all.
Yeah. Peanut butter cups.
Peanut butter cups were, you know, the pieces didn't come along until later, but peanut butter cups were my era.
I used to go to, when I was little for a treat, sometimes my mom would take me to Friendly's and I'd get like a Reese's,
Sundae?
Reese's Pieces. No, a Reese's Pieces Sundae. Like a kid one with ice cream, like in the shape of like a little cone man.
Yeah.
That was like a treat for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember those, doing that with those for my kids as well. So, all right. So we want to know your candies. We want to know what you dress up as Halloween for. We want to know what your score prediction, you know, for the game is. That's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of stuff on the plate. We are going to spend a lot of time talking football today for obvious reasons. And I also want to throw in a little baseball because we are celebrating another championship, you know, in New England.
First one at Fenway.
We are celebrating a championship in the hub of the universe right here.
Yeah. And 95 years.
First home World Series clinch for the Red Sox in 95 years. I think it's fair to say that everyone listening to this program today was not around for the last time.
Everyone?
Everyone. You think we have any 95-year-olds listening? And when they were and when they were just born, do you think they'll actually remember Babe Ruth as being the go-to guy in left field for the Red Sox?
Maybe we have a centenarian. Who was
the centenarian
years old.
Would be 5 years old.
Yeah.
You think this centenarian would remember Babe Ruth starting in left?
Maybe.
Doubtful.
I give our listeners more credit than you do.
No, I'm not giving anybody credit for that. Sorry. But it is the truth. And so, frankly, it's a very simple question to those of you who are Patriots listeners, football fans.
What the hell are you guys up to now?
Speaking of 95, that's Eddie Mack. But, you know, he's not, no, what is he? He's in his late 80s, I believe, anyway. And I know he still comes around from time to time here in the stadium.
Yeah.
I would ask you, who's your favorite Sox player? Just very simple. I mean, everybody's probably going to say David Ortiz, but was there a player that you thought was an unsung hero in this World Series run? I have my own ideas as to who I thought really, other than Ortiz, deserves incredible mention for not just the World Series, you know, run and the playoff run. They won 11 of 16 games the postseason, which is actually, you know, about as dominant, I think, as a team can get nowadays in this day and age of parity. But they, you know, they relied on this guy when they didn't have anybody else to rely
Pedroia?
Upon. No.
Ellsbury?
No. Koji Uehara.
Oh.
I mean, he was the fourth de facto closer this year. Fourth. And he becomes dominant. Shutting the door.
Mm.
I just, to me, he's the true unsung hero for this Red Sox team. To me, it's a slam dunk.
Appropriate that he got the last pitch.
Yeah, we're gonna cross over here in mixed sports metaphors here. It's a slam dunk as far as I'm concerned, you know? So anyway, I'd like to know what you think. If you're certainly a New England sports fan, we talked about this last week when the Sox were getting into the World Series after they had won the American League Championship Series over Detroit. And we know that a lot of you who listen to the show clearly follow the Sox and are fans of the Sox because of your allegiance to New England and the pro sports team in this marketplace. So we do want to celebrate and acknowledge the Boston Red Sox for their eighth World Series championship of all time and their third in the last 10 years. So
amazing.
I'm going to ask you.
Amazing.
I'm going to ask you,
yeah.
Mr. Scalavino,
yeah,
does this qualify the Red Sox for the D word, like we've thrown around here?
Yeah, 3 in 10 years? Yeah, I do.
I'd have to agree.
I do.
Now, the Patriots had 3 in 4 years. Different type, obviously, of dynasty, and there'll be a lot of Yankee fans, a lot of the fans that will probably scream bloody murder on this, but hear me out on it. The definition of dynasty in this day and age has changed.
No, no doubt.
And has been redefined.
No doubt.
And will continue to be redefined this way for the foreseeable future, maybe for all time.
Mm.
Just because we have more teams, more athletes, more watered down product.
Less patience,
more free agents.
Yeah.
You know, teams don't stay together.
No.
There's one guy, I think we all know, there's one guy who has a tie to all three of these Sox World Series teams. One guy. Only one.
What, one player, you
yeah,
mean?
Yeah. David Ortiz. He was in all three championship teams.
Pedroia wasn't on
He was not on 04.
He wasn't?
No, he was not.
I think he was a rookie in 07 even.
He was a rookie.
Really?
Yeah, he was a rookie in 07
next year.
Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, that's right.
And he won the MVP in 08. So
that's right.
That's it. Ortiz is the only tie, which is remarkable that they've been able to do this by remaking themselves.
Yeah.
And to go from one of the worst in baseball a year ago to World Series champs?
Yeah.
The hell is that? Do you think you'd actually...
A lot of it had to do with Farrell.
But I understand. But do you really think you'd see that in the NFL? I mean, do you think Jacksonville goes from being the god-awfulest team in the NFL this year to a Super Bowl champ next year?
Well, we
no
did see...
flipping way.
Wait, hold on now. The Ravens, when they won their first Super Bowl with Dilfer, they were pretty bad the year before that, weren't they? They might not have been the worst in the league.
I'd have to look it up.
But they were like 4-12, I think.
I'd have to look that up.
Or something like that.
I think they had a losing record. They had a losing record. They turned it around. And so, yeah, sure, I'd give them credit. But Jacksonville's a candidate for 0-16 here.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
And in that realm, I mean, could you see Jacksonville turning it around to win a world championship in a year's time? I don't think there's any chance
in
hell.
I'll give you another example, though. The year Jacksonville and Carolina came into the league as expansion teams,
mm-hmm.
the following year they were both in the conference title games.
Yes, that's true. They were. That is true.
And that was even before
that's close.
The modern, I don't want to say modern era, but even before the most recent era of free agency and turnover.
That's close. All right. Well, you know what?
So,
Understood. I think it's a debatable topic, and we've given you a ton to chew on here today, as long as we're talking about, you know, chewing Halloween candy and stuff and the like. So,
I wish we had some whatchamacallits.
I don't know. I don't have any little kids at home anymore. My kids are way off and gone.
I can't
rob their Halloween candy.
No, but here's what you do.
What?
Do you guys give out candy at your house?
We live out on the cranberry bog, dude, so there's just not a whole lot of traffic out at my house now.
Yeah, and you don't want to give cranberries out for kids. Right?
We could. We got enough of them.
No, I know.
You put out a big old bowl of frozen cranberries.
You'd have them throw them back
at your
house.
Yeah, get digging, kids.
See, the trick is you buy the Halloween candy that you like so that there's any left over.
Well, that's specifically why I think we bought what we bought.
Oh.
This year, so we wouldn't eat it. We're just going to give it away. I'll bring it in next week. How's that? Does that work?
What'd you get?
I think we got some Tootsie Roll thing, something or other that, you know, hurt my teeth, you know, get stuck in your teeth.
Hurt your tooth.
Hurt my toofus. So we'll do that. Anyway, there's a ton of stuff for you to talk about, and I want you to contribute on anything and everything. But coming to the program, Jim Nance, CBS Sports, he's going to join us here in 10 minutes. And then, of course, in the hour number two of the program, it will be Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com himself, and we'll run through week 9 in the National Football League. So all of that is coming up here in very short order. Start off today's program with Dave in Connecticut. Dave, you're in the playbook.
Hey, guys. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, my
man.
Thanks.
You too.
I'm going to start off by just getting into this Pittsburgh game we got going on.
Go.
And I think what we need from Brady, I think we can all agree that Tom hasn't been himself this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of the problem, you know, it relies on Tom himself. You know, we can talk about the running game. We can talk about the offensive line not really holding up their end of the bargain. But I think we could all agree when Tom's at his best, he's really, you know, moving the ball around. He's hitting, you know, six or seven different guys, you know, throughout the game. Yeah, I really think that, I don't know if it's the game plans I think it's more on Brady himself, but I mean, you can go back to the Buffalo game where he targeted Tompkins 14 times in that game. Okay. He Gronk comes back, he targeted him 17 times. He's not moving the ball around like he normally has in the past. You know, and I don't know, you know, if it's because he's not comfortable with the guys or it's, you know, it's definitely something that is troubling to me. Because like I said, I think we can all agree he's at his best when, you know, he's moving the ball around, you know. And I think he needs to get back to that, you know.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean,
I don't,
and here's why. If one guy is getting open all game long, Tom Brady's favorite receiver is the guy who's open.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say that. You know, his.
Yeah.
You know,
this offense is not designed.
All the receivers, you know, when we had Branch and Brisby and Gibbons and Gaffney. They all worked, and they knew to work I'm not saying that these guys aren't working throughout the entire play, but there's been times that, you know, I can go back to the Tampa game where he had Edelman and, I don't know, if I think it might have been Dobson, both running free down the middle, and he didn't see him.
You're right. That, yeah.
You know what I mean? And, yeah. And I'm not, and I, trust me, I would not, there's not any quarterback in the NFL today that I wouldn't want on my team but Tom Brady, you know, just based on what he's done in the past for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure.
And when he's gone, you know, and it's going to happen in the next couple of years, you know, when he does finally, you know, leave, you know, we're going to be in a world of hurt. I mean, because, you know.
Well, that may be the case, but let's wait and see what happens over the next couple of years before we jump down that road. And let's see who they decide to bring in. Are they going to trade for somebody? Are they going to draft somebody? Well, let's wait on that.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know.
So what's your prediction then for Sunday, Dave?
I'm going to give you my prediction I gave you yesterday when I jumped the gun. 27-10.
27-10 Patriots?
I think, you know, we need to, you know, be aggressive with our pass rush, you know. You know, because Pittsburgh's offensive line is pretty much a mess too.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, we need to hit them with some corner blitzes, like we did in the second half against Miami, and you know, it's definitely a winnable game. I think it's an important game for us to have. You know, as they all are now. You know, it's that time of the year where we're getting ready for the tournament.
Very, very true.
And, you know, you can start looking at seeding now. You know.
Well, once we get into the second half, I totally agree with you, and that's what we do, you know, starting with this week. All right, so help us out here, Dave. Halloween costume, what would you wear? Who would you be?
I would wear a combination of Tom Brady and...
How did I know he was going there?
Well, my feet. We go with the Tom Brady shoes. And
what, Uggs?
Uggs.
All right.
And Bill Belichick.
And Bill Belichick. Okay.
And yeah, a hoodie.
So you'd be like,
and a hoodie. Uggs and a hoodie.
Uggs and a hoodie.
Okay.
Oh, without sleeves.
All right. How about candy?
Candy?
Yep.
You got to go Kit Kats.
All right. That's a good choice. Yeah. And Red Sox unsung hero. Who is it?
You know what? You got to go with the closer.
Yeah, Koji. Yeah,
I agree.
Koji. I mean, you know. Like you said, you know, Big Papi's been there for all three, and he's definitely, you know, he's definitely the man on that team. You know, I think, you know, who would have thought, you know, when they went out and they picked up Bailey and they picked up Hammerhand.
I know. It's
you know,
it's,
that this kid Koji would be like, you know,
pretty amazing.
Doing stuff like Mario.
And especially, you know, and here's the thing, especially since he tops out at about 89 or 90 on his fastball, which is blows me away. He's got that kind of movement on his two-seamer and on his sinker that, you know, left-handers just can't touch it. Can't touch this. I'm going to go into MC Hammer here in a moment. I'm going to go into it in a moment, just in a moment. All right, we're going to get to a break here because Jim Nance is coming up in a moment, but I do want to get to the practice report for today, and the good news for the second straight day is?
Everybody was there, including Shane Vereen. 62 players on the practice field. An anomaly.
Now, technically, Vereen could come back this week.
No. Technically, he could have come back during the bye week.
During the bye week.
If we had a game.
Okay, if we had a game.
10.
So it's got to be eight weeks from when he got hurt.
Yeah,
he
was,
okay, not after 8 weeks.
No, 8 weeks from when he's placed on
the
week two. So
got
at eight,
it.
That's
right.
Week 10.
Because I messed that up yesterday. So I wanted to clarify that. Because I said 8 weeks, and I had forgotten. Oh, yeah, it was week two, not week one. Mm. So it will actually be next week, but the Patriots don't play a game,
right.
So you won't see him until the following week.
At the earliest.
At the earliest. Right. If even then, we realize that, but the fact
first
that
chance,
he's practicing.
First chance you can get would be that.
The fact that he's practicing is huge.
Very good.
Yeah. Step in the right direction. Yeah. So everybody's back. Best guess, does everybody play?
No. Everybody who's hurt.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
Who's likely to come back?
Tlaib is possible. I think.
Well, we've seen him now for what, 5-6 straight practices?
Let's see, the Jets, all three last week is
five, six
today.
Six straight practices.
Mm-hmm. Missed two straight games. Wouldn't stun me though if he misses this game too because of the bye
week. Because of the bye week, yeah.
And then make sure that he's good for the rest of the year.
That's kind of what I thought too, I'll be honest.
I don't expect from what I've seen of Tommy Kelly to see him this week.
Yep.
And nor Leon Washington, for that matter.
Okay.
I think
the bye week is going to play in with all of these guys, I think.
Certainly. I think we'll see those guys continue to be inactive and then possibly look at Carolina, that Monday night game, as a returning point for several of them.
Okay. Excellent. 855-PATS-500, webradio at patriots.com, at JR Broadcaster Twitter, John.Rook Facebook. Many different ways that you can get a hold of us here on the program. We want you to contribute. It's Prediction Thursday, favorite Halloween candy, what are you dressing up for, or what would you dress up for Halloween, and your Red Sox unsung hero. It's all on the table today. Sox World Series champs last night. Unbelievable as it is, but we will continue the football discussion coming up. Jim Nantz from CBS Sports in the playbook.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
It's Patriots Playbook for a Thursday here on Patriots.com Radio. I'm John Rook. We're going to take a couple of moments now to visit with the play-by-play voice of the National Football League for CBS. He's going to be in here on Sunday afternoon for the matchup with the Steelers. Jim Nantz, who I've known for a number of years. Our ships kind of passed like ships in the night, really, over years ago through a gentleman that, Jim, I know that you'll recall very well, and Jerry Trupiano. You used to work for him at KTRH in Houston. And I nearly came to work for him at KTRH in Houston because he tried to hire me to replace you, and you left for television.
Oh, no, that. Well, I didn't just work for Troop. He hired me. He got me started in the business. So I owe it all, my career to the great Jerry Trupiano, who's still the best play-by-play man I have ever heard.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And really, he's responsible for a lot of, you know, the stuff that I've done as well, because I interned for him the summer before he tried to hire me when you moved on to Salt Lake City, I believe, at the time. So it was a tremendous experience, and learning in a place like Houston, which is a pretty good sports town in its own right. And I know, you grew up there basically and played golf at the university and all that kind of stuff. So good stuff anyway. But I'd be remiss if I didn't start off by asking you what your thoughts are on the Red Sox from afar, because clearly, it's the culmination of a 12-year run in New England for sports fans here. That's extraordinary with, what now, 8 championships, I think, won by the 4 major pro sports team. It's really kind of remarkable when you sit and you think about it.
Oh, my goodness. I think of cities like Cleveland that would give anything, just have one of their teams win a championship. And the Boston area has had 8 reasons to celebrate here over a little more than a decade. That's some great stuff. What a fabulous team, though. I always love it when I see championships won by franchises that really do preach and live out the team theme. It's not about a bunch of individuals. It's about a bunch of people banding together and trying to put their talents together for a cause. And that's what I saw in the Red Sox. So, here's a great nod to the champions. I think they serve sport really well.
From your vantage point, do you feel like New England sports fans now are at the position where maybe they're a little bit spoiled because of the run of success that their pro sports teams have put on here?
I don't think, I've heard people talk about fans are spoiled. I saw what Magic Johnson said this week, Laker fans are spoiled. And I don't know what that really means. I think fans everywhere expect their teams to do well. They live and die in many cases. It's their life. It's their escape. Is the how the teams perform in their local teams. So I don't get any sense of entitlement. Maybe that's what the right word is. I just don't see that. I mean, of course, my biggest attachment is with the New England Patriots, which is the team I get to see many times every year. And they've just they have built a great recipe for success behind Robert Kraft and Coach Belichick and the quarterback Tom Brady, and they've had success for a long, long time. Now, they haven't won Super Bowl since 2004, but every single year they're right in the mix for one, and I'm sure they're going to be in the mix for more to come in the years ahead.
I couldn't have thrown you a softball any softer.
Well done, John. Appreciate that. But no, I don't really sense that. When I'm at Gillette Stadium, the fans are hearty and they're passionate, they're vocal. But I got to tell you, they are in every city pretty much. In fact, some people take it too far. You've mentioned Houston before.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how disappointed I was in the way the fans behaved down there earlier this year.
Yeah.
Matt Schaub got injured, and they cheered his injury.
Yeah, that was...
Now, granted, he had been playing very poorly and had thrown a whole series of pick sixes in four straight games, but still, the man's livelihood and his health, and I mean, to hear fans cheering when a quarterback gets clobbered and is limping off the field, that was really disappointing.
Yeah, I think I wrote that was very Philadelphia-like, and it was very surprising for Houston fans.
It was just, I was astonished. But then I had that next week or somewhere in that mix, I had a Houston game at Kansas City. And, of course, Houston had to start Case Keenum in that game, and he played well. But Kansas City, a year ago, had, of course, that dreadful 2-14 year, and they were alternating Matt Castle, quarterback, with Brady Quinn, and they had an episode last year which kind of got under the radar a little bit when Castle got hurt in a home game, and they cheered the injury. It had happened there a year ago, so there was precedent that it happened before.
Right.
At one point, I was talking about it with my partner on the air, Phil Sims, and he said at one time in his career it happened to him.
Sure.
He got hurt in a home game, and they cheered. And I just, to me, there's no place for that. I
actually think I remember that happening, and it might have been actually against the Cowboys, because I was a Cowboy fan at the time. So it's quite possible. Who knows? That's a pretty good recall there. Jim Nance again, who will be a part of the television broadcast for CBS with his partner Phil Sims here at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough Sunday afternoon for the Patriots and the Steelers. What are your thoughts on this particular incarnation of the New England Patriots? They are 6-2. We're still trying to figure out how the heck they're doing it.
Well, I am too. I'm glad you said that, because that's where I was going to go with it. I mean, I saw the Patriots for the first time against Miami this last weekend. And of course, down 14 at halftime,
right,
turned a switch. Second half, they just dominated and found a way to win another game. And that's not to trash the talent level or anything like that. It's actually being very complimentary. They are finding ways to win when their defense has been decimated by injury, and they're filling these spots with, in some cases, undrafted college free agents.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, the wide receiver story has not gone away since training camp. There's just very little experience there, or Amendola, who does have experience, just hasn't been healthy enough. It's been a remarkable achievement to be 6-2 at the halfway point of the season. You know, the team that's coming in here has had similar issues, and I'm not laying the blame here on Mike Tomlin, but again, just the way it works out somehow, they're 2-5.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Pittsburgh's had all kinds of issues. Both of these teams are, the talent level is not what it was in both cases, you know, when they've met in all these great matchups in the last 6, 7, 8 years. They're just not they're not as good. Now, maybe they can grow into it, young players develop, whatever. But if you're telling me the talent level on each team is what it was, say, 5 years ago, I'm going to tell you it's not there. But you know what? I see that when I look at the whole league, John. I really think the NFL, for whatever reason, it just doesn't feel like, to me, the talent level is what it was 4 or 5 years ago.
Could I make an argument here for the fact that, and first of all, I'd agree with you. There's no way that either one of these teams, especially Pittsburgh, is as good as it was talent-wise in the last couple of years. But I would also argue that I think the talent, while it may not apparently be as good, I think it's certainly younger. I think the league has gotten younger. And I know that in the case of the Patriots, that's exactly the problem here with the inconsistencies. And then I was talking to Ed Bouchette from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, who I know you're familiar with yesterday.
Yeah, very much.
And Ed told me, he said, the problems in Pittsburgh or age. They've just gotten old before everyone's eyes, and they just haven't adjusted.
Well, the argument about old age on the Pittsburgh side was starting to surface last year.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense had just not been, they had not transitioned out some of the positions, and that it was gonna jump up and bite them at some point. Maybe that's what we're seeing this year, because they kind of got caught with the same base defense for a long, long time, and they did age. But your argument about the rest of the league is youth, that the league is younger, I take it. Is that that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm just getting the impression that the guys who are in significant positions, I mean, we're talking skill players mostly here, but the guys that are trying to make the plays largely are younger than they have been in the last few years, and I think that's a part of some of the maybe the lesser performances that we've seen.
Well, and I think that would be something that might be worth researching a little bit to see if the average age, obviously it wouldn't be going down by years, it would be going down by fractions.
But right, right.
If because of whatever salary cap issues, perhaps you put more money into two or three star players and then, you as close as you can, minimum salary, the rest of your roster, and you go with more youth now.
Mm-hmm.
As you build a franchise, and maybe that in the end does prove out to be the reason that the quality of play doesn't seem quite as high to me. I mean, I've only been doing the NFL since back in the 80s. It just doesn't seem like even the dominant teams. I mean, Kansas City, I give Andy Reid all the credit in the world. Coach of the year to this point.
Yep.
Nobody could dispute that 8-0 after 2-14 team he took over. But I mean, if you're telling me Kansas City's a juggernaut, I'm telling you they're not.
Yeah.
And then you take a look at Denver, and as awesome as that offense can operate, virtually every game, the defense just is a revolving door. I mean, people are just, flying through the turnstiles to the end zone.
Right.
And so you look for great teams. I don't know. It's not like, say, Patriot teams of 10 years ago.
True.
Where you had high quality play on both sides of the ball.
True.
It's just different.
Yeah, that is true. And maybe this will then set up for a particular entertaining tournament when we get to it in January,
Could. People say that Seattle and San Francisco, everybody knows Seattle, you don't want to go up there and have to play. Maybe they're about as complete a team as you can find in the league. As far as both sides being really high quality. When you have a weakness, you only have one strength, going to get into those playoffs, and yeah, it could be wide open. I'm anxious to see where we're going to go with these playoffs because a team like Pittsburgh is not out of it yet.
Right.
John, here they are 2-5.
Right.
And you think, man, their season's over. It's not over. And then you look at the Patriots, they're 6-2, and you're saying, man, this could have been 3-3 or 4-4.
Easily.
And you wonder, okay, well, let's say if New England goes on and wins the division, will they be a first or second seed to get that first round bye? Are they that good? Are they really one of the two best in the AFC? Is it going to play out that way? You have to think the AFC West winner, whether it's Denver or Kansas City, will probably get one of those first round byes.
Agreed.
So who will get the other one?
Agreed.
Will it be New England or Cincinnati? Cincinnati's already got the head-to-head on them.
Right.
So it's going to be fun second half of the season is the short of it.
You mentioned Pittsburgh as well at 2-5, really not feeling like they're out of it. Ben Roethlisberger said this week, Jim, that this was a must win. And even though it's only week 8 for them because they've already had their bye week, is it too early to say that? And does that put too much pressure on the Steelers, or is that something maybe that because they are a veteran unit they can handle?
Well, for the record, this will be my third Pittsburgh game that I broadcast this year, John, and mm-hmm. in every case I've come into it with the Steelers saying it was a must-win.
And so, how did they do in the other? How did they do in the other two?
They were in London at 0-3, taking on Minnesota,
okay.
And they said it's a must-win, and of course Minnesota was winless going into the game,
right?
And we billed it as a must-win, and of course Minnesota dropped the Steelers to 0-4, and then came back out of their bye, I saw Pittsburgh at the Jets at 0-4 must win, which I happen to agree at 0-4, it pretty much is a must win.
Yeah.
And they did win that game.
Okay.
So, and since that win against the Jets, they beat Baltimore and lost to Oakland. Here they are residing at 2-5. Is it a must win? I don't think it's as much of a must win as it was when they were 0-4.
Mm-hmm.
My point is, they've been playing with it's a must-win a number of times. I wouldn't want to be 2-6. But at 2-6, I couldn't rule them out, only because I think 9-7 is going to get somebody a playoff berth this year as a wild card. And I'm not sure this team has the makings, though, of going 7-1 the second half of the year. But at 3-5, man, you know, you definitely have to have them in the discussion. They're far from out if they win this game.
I sure would agree with that. So then from the New England perspective overall, here's a team that, you know, has struggled. They tried to surround Tom Brady with some inexperience, kind of leading to what I was talking about a little while ago, and the Patriots kind of almost a microcosm of some of the talent problems maybe in the entire league. Skill position players, very young. Rob Gronkowski out with an injury over up until a couple of weeks ago, still missing one or two healthy pieces of the puzzle. Defensively, they've probably missed their two best players, or at least two of their best players, in Wilfork and Mayo up the middle. Tlaib is practicing this week. I think most fans around here feel like Aqib Tlaib is the most valuable player on this New England team, and probably was even before Wilfork and Mayo went down, just because of the solidification of the secondary. How's that for being a tongue twister? What he brings there with leadership and everything else. So it seems like defensively they match up pretty well against a Steelers team that's just struggling to do anything offensively, even with the problems.
Well, your assessment of the New England defense, I would say their two best players are out for the year, within Vince and Gerard. And I think Tlaib is the next guy in terms of order of importance. So, yeah, their three best guys have either been out for the season or missed a lot of time. But having said that, look at how that defense last week suddenly turned up a notch and made all the difference in the third and fourth quarters against Miami. There's some guys that are making plays there that have your head turning.
Right.
I mean, specifically, from what I saw, you know, guys like Chris Jones, what a find.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think that this guy was drafted by Houston this year, cut at the end of camp, picked up by Tampa, had him for a cup of coffee and then cut him. And, I mean, what did people see about him they did not like? You know, they changed the sack, by the way, last week that was credited to Logan Ryan. This just came down from the league office. Gave him a half a sack and sharing it with Chris Jones, which gives Chris now a sack and a half in the game against Miami, gives him five sacks on the year. This guy's been cut twice in the last 2 months. And he's making plays here in New England. I mean, it's tremendous play by him.
Opportunity knocks, doesn't it?
No kidding. Making the most of it. Who has the advantage of the matchup here? Well, you know, hey, you got to factor in Gillette Stadium. And anytime you have a chance to play at home, we know all these amazing records that New England's amassed playing at home. I think, you know, talent-wise, coaching-wise, I think the whole thing's pretty even going into the game. I really do. I know we're talking about a 6-2 team and a 2-5 team. You're going to have a desperate team coming in here in Pittsburgh.
Agreed.
And I think it's going to be a heck of a matchup. I'm really excited to be there to call it.
And this is why we have to play the game, see how it turns out.
Right. That's right. I mean, you know, you don't want to go against Belichick and Brady at home. That's a pretty tough recipe. But, you know, this core group has been in a lot of big games. And they faced New England a number of times. I know last year they didn't meet, but before that, virtually every year, these two franchises have met in big games. And, you know, they're going to have to, New England's going to be ready, I'm sure, for a team to come here with some desperation. It's going to play with a little more urgency than what I saw out of Pittsburgh at Oakland last week. That was really surprising.
Right. I agree.
To be flat-footed from the very first snap of the game, John.
Yeah.
To let a quarterback run 93 yards for a touchdown against you on the first play of the game. That just doesn't happen in this league.
I think we'd all be wild if Tom Brady was able to pull that off on Sunday.
You know what? That one I would definitely pay to see.
Love it.
He did scramble last week, though. Let's give him credit.
Yeah.
He did break out and show some scrambling skills.
He did. And we've given him full credit for it. Jim, thank you so much for the time today. It's great to visit with you. We look forward to listening in to the broadcast, obviously, that you and Phil will have here on Sunday. And safe travels eastward.
Thank you, John. Always great to visit with you, my friend. Take care.
All right. Take care. Thank you. Yeah, he's, I got to admit, great to talk to, a lot of fun to listen to. He's been around the game for a very, very long time, as many are aware. He mentioned just a couple of moments ago that, you know, he's been doing the games on CBS now since the mid-80s. So it's almost 30 years that he's actually doing this. And he is this generation's Pat Summerall. like Pat Summerall was to me and to you as we were kids,
yeah.
you know, growing up, Eric. So we welcome you back here at Patriots Playbook. Jim Nance just joining us. Quick little ditty, if I might add, real quick about, our, you know, relationship as ships passing in the night. As I opened up the interview with there, it all happened back in 1982. It was summer of 82 or fall of 1982. And I'm working at a television station in Waco, Texas, KCEN, Channel 6, which is the NBC affiliate there. And I had, the day before, I'd gotten woken up in the morning by a secretary, can you please hold for Bob Bass? And I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking, you know, since I was woken up out of a dead sleep at the crack of noon, because, again, I was all of 22 years old and, you know, still, you know, staying up late and all that stuff. I'm thinking, Bob Bass, who the hell is that? And then it dawned on me, oh, my God, that's the general manager of the San Antonio Spurs. And so the day before, I got a call from Bob Bass offering me an opportunity to come to work for the Spurs. That's how that happened back in 82. The very next day, I get a phone call from Jerry Trupiano. I'm at my desk at the television station. And he goes, John Rook, how are you? You know, and so we go into this, you know, whole thing about how things are going. And so he says, so, Rookie, I think I might have a job for you. And I'm like, get out. Are you serious? When it rains,
cup
it pours.
Right over.
I'm telling you. It always happens that way. It just, it comes in fits and giggles, right? It does. And I said, well, God, what's up, Troop? What's the deal? And he said that, well, I'm losing Nance. He says, Nance is going to go off and do this TV thing. He was a radio sports guy at KTRH in Houston, which is 50,000 watt, you know, clear channel station in Houston. And those that live in and around the Houston area know of the radio station. It's been the home of the Astros and the Oilers for, you know, years, you know, when the Oilers were still there. And he had done, you know, weekday sports, you know, anchoring sports during the week because it's an all news station. And then he was doing some of the talk show at night, but that was really Troop's bailiwick. That's what he was doing. And he goes, yeah, I'm going to lose Nance. He goes, you know, really like what you did around here. And, you know, a couple of years ago and you were here interning. And so, save me from having to go out and, you know, interview a bunch of people. Will you come and take the job? That was it. That was the conversation.
Wow.
And it was to go from Waco, Texas, in television, back to Houston to do radio.
Yeah.
You know, that's a huge jump, as you probably are aware.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, no. You know, I
couldn't believe
I said,
sorry to disappoint you, Jerry.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Jerry, but yesterday I accepted an opportunity to go work for the San Antonio Spurs. And he stopped. It was silence on the end of the phone. He goes, day late and a dollar short.
Oh.
That's his exact quote. Day late and a dollar short. And that was it.
Who got the job?
You know what? I don't even remember. Clearly, it wasn't anybody terribly memorable, but I don't even recall. Oh, I think the guy that got the, well, see, I don't even know for sure, so it probably wouldn't do me any good to speculate, because I don't want to denigrate anybody unnecessarily. But, that's, I was almost Jim Nance's replacement. He went from there to KSL TV in Salt Lake City. That's where he was at Channel 5 in Salt Lake for a number of years, where he was discovered by the network execs at CBS. It was a KSL, I believe. I don't know. It may still be CBS affiliate at the time. And he was discovered there by the network execs. And woof, he's right up the ladder. And like 3 years later, 85, 1986, three or four years later, he's calling NFL games on CBS. It happened that quickly for him.
Wow.
So there you go.
I'm disappointed in the interview in one respect, though.
Okay.
You didn't ask him anything about Halloween.
I thought about it, but I just
I would love to know what he would dress up as.
Yeah,
what
I should
favorite
have.
Candy was.
I know I should have. I should have, but I just felt like, you know, dude's giving us his time, and he probably doesn't want to be, you know, bothered with mundane
He'd
dribble.
Probably dress up as Phil Simms.
You know, that's probably a good one. He'd probably put on the Phil Simms blue number 11, right? It's an assumption on my part. Or he might go as his famous college golf teammate, Fred Couples. Because they were teammates in the University of Houston golf team. So,
that's incredible.
Yeah, how about that?
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Didn't know he was that good.
He was a very good golfer overall. So, all right. So we, before we took the time out to visit with Mr. Nance, we were talking about the injury report and or the participation at practice. Everybody's back still again for our second straight,
at least
third
on a
straight
limited
day.
Basis.
On a limited basis.
Second day in a row.
We don't really expect two or three of those guys to be active for Sunday's game against Pittsburgh.
I don't.
But fact remains is at least there's a step in the right direction towards a potential return.
Absolutely.
Especially after the bye week next week.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. That's definitely positive. I'd rather have guys on the field than off.
All right. You want to step up with your prediction then?
Yeah. I don't feel comfortable with
What's
it.
What's the spread?
7, I believe, or 7 and a half.
I saw 7, so I'm like, okay, still 7?
Touchdown. Right. Yep. So I don't like it. 23-20 Patriots.
Ooh.
But
you're taking the Steelers and the points then.
Yes.
But the Patriots to win.
The Patriots to win, but I'm not going to be shocked if they lose it. And
really?
This is a turn. Remember, I originally
you originally had Pittsburgh in this game.
I did, and I'm changing my mind because of the way the Steelers have played up to this point.
Right.
So it's not going to stun me at all if they come here and upset the Patriots.
The Steelers are offensively challenged, and I think that's probably putting it lightly. If the Patriots have Aqib Talib back on Sunday, and again, we don't really know.
I doubt it.
I kind of doubt it too. But if they do have him back, I think they cover easily. I think it could be that much of a difference. We haven't seen much from Pittsburgh's running game. I anticipate that they'll try to step up that effort against the middle of the Patriots defense, because we've seen opponents try to do that over the last couple of weeks since both Vilfork and Mayo have been out of the lineup. So the Patriots must know that the Steelers have got to try to run the football and establish it to make it easier for Roethlisberger to try to spread it out. I don't know. I will give the Patriots credit. They seem to do well enough in adjusting at halftime in the second half against the Dolphins last week to where I think they can overcome this. And I actually think that Miami may be a better team overall, top to bottom, than what we saw in Pittsburgh. So I think the Patriots are able to cover slightly. I'm going with New England. Oh, man, I hate doing this. God, seems like it's the same amount every week. And the reason that, first of all, we should give some kudos to Stephen Gostkowski, who is the AFC Special Teams Player of the Month.
Yes.
So that's for the entire month,
yeah.
You know, as a kicker. And he really has been an unsung mainstay in this whole 6-2 effort. Mm. Without his consistency, no telling where the Patriots might be. They probably have another loss or two on their ledger. I'm thinking that Gostkowski gets into the mix again, and for at least two or three kicks. So in that regard, I'm going to go, and this probably is a little high, I'm going to go with Patriots 30, Steelers 20.
Okay.
10 points. Patriots 30, Steelers 20, and I'm only doing that because I respect the leg of Stephen Gostkowski, and I think he'll be having an opportunity to kick two or three. I think that the Brady Gronkowski combination probably finds its way after two weeks of working. And I think that they'll also try to run the ball a little bit. And so I'm going to say three touchdowns and three field goals, which sounds like a lot considering all of the troubles that we've seen with this team on offense. But I'm counting on Pittsburgh to give the Patriots a short field a time or two.
Okay.
That's what I'm counting on in making my prediction. And honestly, I had given that no thought before coming into the studio today.
Okay.
Zero thought. I've done that basically over the last hour or 2 hours, you know, counting before we got on the air here. I'm going to say 30 to 20.
Okay.
And that is a cover based on today's
trend,
right?
Yeah, okay. Definitely is.
All right. One more duty that we need to move into? Yes, we do.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
I responded to a tweet yesterday from our colleague Jeff Howe, who was saying that now I know why Brady built a moat around his home in California to try to prevent kids from getting back at him from egging houses and TPing their lawns when he was a kid. So I responded to that and said, kids today would need a trebuchet to attack Brady's house, not thinking that it would cause the stir that it did. I just thought that was a well-known thing. So I chose it as my word of the day because
that's a good one.
Enough people didn't know what the hell I was talking about.
A trebuchet.
Yeah. Do you know what a trebuchet is?
No clue.
A trebuchet is a medieval instrument of war that kind of looks like a catapult, a giant catapult on wheels.
Oh, yeah.
With at the end of the arm, though,
yeah,
there's a long rope at the end of which you attach your rock or large whatever thing you want to hurl,
like a huge slingshot.
It's kind of like a huge slingshot, only so the arm of the catapult goes forward.
I've seen those in some of the
and then the torque of the rope and the thing, so it
whips it on even further.
Right, so it whips it even further and harder and higher
velocity.
Right,
I've seen those in some of those medieval movies.
Exactly,
use those.
Exactly,
those are trebuchets.
It's called
a
trebuchet. T-R-E-B-U-C-H-E-T.
Trebuchet.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I just. honestly didn't think that Jeff or some of the other people on Twitter would not know what the hell I was talking about.
What the hell are you talking about, Scalavino?
So that was totally by accident. Sometimes, you know, I
can
just...
can we put trebuchet in a modern day sentence?
I thought I just did on my on my tweet. I said kids today would need a trebuchet to attack Tom Brady's house on Halloween.
Yeah. The fortress, yeah, the fortress.
Yeah.
Fortress Brady.
To scale the circumvent the moat.
Okay.
At his house in California.
Okay. All right. I like it.
Did that work?
Yeah, it works actually.
So you knew what it was. You just didn't
Was the word for it. Yeah, but I have seen those. I know what they are.
Yeah, they're pretty devastating.
And yeah, they are devastating, especially with the rope. They add the extra torque to it. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
I've seen those. You know, rather than just a pure slingshot, they just kind of throw stuff up and hope it, you know, hits or sticks one way or the other. Pretty cool. All right. So you say 23-20.
Yeah.
I say 30-20.
30-20. Okay.
All right. So I give them one more score basically than you do.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. We'll see you Sunday afternoon.
Correct?
Shortly before kickoff, I'm sure. Or
trick or treat.
Several hours before. Yeah, and have a nice trick-or-treat tonight,
will
you? All right. Bring along the candy bag next week. And
okay.
We'll see what everybody has around here.
All right. I'm dressing as Fred Kirsch, by the way.
Fred Kirsch tonight?
I'm trying to scare everybody.
I thought you were going to say you're going to come as Andy Hart and wear the big head.
Oh, no.
No?
Nah.
No. Okay. We could go on about that, but we won't. All right, let's take another quick timeout, and then we get in the guru into the playbook, Mr. Russell Baxter himself.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. It's time to go around the NFL with football guru Russell Baxter on Patriots Playbook.
Hour number two, Inside Patriots Playbook. We continue with your predictions on a Prediction Thursday. Send us your thoughts, webradio at patriots.com. Yes, the yearbook is still available. 855-PATS-500, the phone number. At JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, on Facebook. All of the aforementioned questions of the day having to do with not only your prediction for the score, what Halloween costume are you going to wear tonight, or would you wear? What is your favorite candy? And your unsung Patriots, or your unsung Red Sox hero, in light of the World Series championship that's running through New England yet again. Mr. Baxter, how are you today, sir?
I'm terrific. So I guess this World Series thing is becoming old hat.
Yeah, kind of. Three times now in 10 years. So based on, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Eric at the top of the show. Based on 3 and 10, does this qualify the Red Sox as a dynasty?
I don't think so.
Why?
I don't think. To me, dynasty is, and you and I have had this discussion.
We have. That's why I'm asking it.
When the Patriots won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years but missed the playoffs in 2002, I wasn't ready to declare them a dynasty.
You're very stingy with your...
They are in the middle of still being a dynasty now, though.
Yes, you are very stingy with your dynastic prognostications.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because I think it has to be... To me, making the Patriots a dynasty, 3 titles in 4 years, which was the same thing the Cowboys did, but then the Cowboys, you know, ripped off a bunch of playoff appearances. They were in the playoffs in 91... before they won it, and then 95 and 96, and then in 98, 99. You know, to me, anointing the Patriots or even the Cowboys a dynasty, although the Patriots, I mean, the Cowboys made the playoffs in 94, which was slightly different than the Patriots not making it in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got to be sustained. I think it's the argument you get from some people whether Terrell Davis is a Hall of Famer or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, my argument, frankly, under the my personal definition of dynasty, I'd say 3 and 10 is not qualified.
Yeah.
However, my opinion here is that the term dynasty is going to change, is changing, and will be changed forever because of two very large reasons. Number one, we got more teams than we had. And we've had it in years past. More athletes, so the product is watered down, which means it's tougher for good players to actually be together for an extended period of time, and simply because of the economics of the game. Players come and go, you know, as often as, you know, people change the sheets on their bed. So, you know, it happens all the time. And so our thought process of what a dynasty is and what it will continue to be, I think, is changing over the course of the last decade or so.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, especially in the NFL with free agency not being a factor really until the New England dynasty. I mean, people will say that about the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
There was no free agency in 1992. There was free agency in 93 and no salary cap. And then there was free agency from there on in. So, I mean, you could make, it was funny because you saw a lot of the Cowboys, a number of Cowboys who left after they won back-to-back titles after the 93 season. But I agree with you. This question got posed to me a couple years ago when I was down in Dallas when the Steelers were playing the Packers in the Super Bowl. Somebody asked me if the Steelers would be a dynasty if they won that Super Bowl, and I said absolutely not. And they were like, well, it would be, what, five, six, seven, eight, five, three titles in 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, but they missed the playoffs the year after they won in 05. And then they missed the playoffs the year after they won it in 08.
Right. And
is that a dynasty? That sounds like Swiss cheese.
And yeah, and you could certainly make that argument for the Red Sox in this particular instance. So, you know.
Listen, to me, the Red Sox this year, and I'm not the biggest baseball, but I know what a great story they are coming out of absolute. I mean, to me, the Red Sox this year, in a way, it's almost like the St. Louis Rams being as bad, but the Rams were bad for a decade and then won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the Red Sox haven't been. I just think it's refreshing, you know, for a city that waited so long that, you know, that 86 year drought?
86.
And now the floodgates have opened.
They've opened up and you win one at home for the first time in 95 years. How about that one?
Right.
That's pretty good.
And by the way, when your baseball team isn't winning, your football team's winning.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then sprinkle in your hockey team and your
basketball too. Although
basketball team,
although they're not winning this year, but the hockey team and the football team still could. So,
if you go back to 2001, and I don't know, I how many pro championships?
Eight.
Three football, three baseball,
one hockey, one basketball.
One basketball, right?
Right.
That's
pretty good over the last dozen years. Yeah, over the last dozen years, that's quite remarkable. Eight championships.
Right.
Yep, totally. All right, are we having Halloween at the Baxter household?
Absolutely. My beautiful daughter will be out trick-or-treating.
What is she dressed up as?
A cheetah.
A cheetah?
Yes.
Now, you're not talking about someone who's from New England calling somebody a cheetah.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, and I'm not talking about somebody from Pittsburgh calling somebody a steela.
A steela, okay.
You know? No, she's going as
a cheetah.
A cheetah,
right.
Kind of like the bad guy in the Justice League.
Yeah,
you know, with the cute ears and the cute tail.
Yeah, right.
And all that. And I made sure I asked.
How about that? He's got a superhero reference.
When she goes door to door to be, you know, listen, not too much candy.
Yep.
You know, just ask for McDonald's gift certificate.
Yeah, okay, that's good because Dad can definitely take part in that.
Daddy's got to eat.
Yeah, Daddy's got to eat. I like that. Now, if you were dressing up, what would you dress up as?
Well, you know, it's funny. A couple years ago, we went to a Halloween party, and I wore a Captain America shirt, and I had a plastic hammer, like the hammer of Thor, and I got a plastic Iron Man mask.
So you were going as a...
Just my dimensions alone, I went as the Avengers.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, you're going to go as a human Marvel comic book. I like it.
If I had a cape, some kryptonite and a magic glass.
You'd have had the whole thing.
Yeah,
I love it. I think that's great. A second Justice League reference too, in the same conversation, within minutes of each other.
Yeah, you guys. Hey, if you're not dressing up as somebody scary today,
these
days you're dressing up as a superhero.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny when I was growing up, I was a big comics fan. And now every other movie that comes out is a comic movie.
Yeah, I know. And I think it's actually very cool. It's kind of allowed me to
I think
relive a second childhood all over again, right?
Well, not only that, all the, you know, when you and I were younger, okay, they couldn't do the things they could do on, in a movie now.
No.
I mean, you watch a comic movie.
Oh, no.
And it's like watching the comic book come to life.
Yeah.
It's not,
yeah.
You know, it's not, they just didn't have the special effects.
No, I agree. That is.
Capabilities and so on. And the things they do now, it's like actually watching. It's great you said that. Your child, it's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is.
Totally. And that's, and they're spending millions of dollars banking on the fact that you will relive the childhood to an extent. And
oh, absolutely.
Go ahead and do that.
All right, well, immaturity has served me well in my career.
Totally. Totally. What's the favorite candy you're going after in your kid's bag tonight?
Oh, all of it.
no, pick
you
one.
Know, you know, I think I got this from my mom, but you never get it in a trick or treat bag, but I get them every once in a while. And I might have, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show, but Goldberg peanut chews.
You have mentioned that before.
Yes.
You actually have. I actually remember that.
Right,
and the reason I remember it is because it's so flippin' weird.
Right. No, because you know what it is? It's like a pack, and there's like seven or eight pieces in a pack. They never do like the individual wrapped
thing. I don't think I've ever seen that. A Goldberg peanut chew?
You know, if I get some, I'll send you some.
Okay.
I'm serious. They're great.
Okay.
It's like a semi-dark chocolate with nuts.
Wow. All right.
Okay. They're really good. Very addictive.
Be willing to try
so
it.
On. But if I was going to raid the bag, kind of a you know, I like juji fruits.
Really? Man, those things stick to my teeth. I have a hard time picking them out of my teeth.
I know.
You know?
I know, but it gives me something to do.
Juji fruits and dots.
Dots. I mean, dots are, I mean, that's construction.
Oh, that's like, that's like eating glue.
Yes, dots I use to keep my teeth in.
Flavored glue. Yeah. Use the dots to keep your teeth in your mouth. That's how that works. I can understand that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, we've digressed enough. The game tonight is a good one to watch because it features two teams that the Patriots fans should be very familiar with and a team that almost laid half a hundred, as Barry Switzer would say, almost half a hundred on the JETS last week. Bengals playing at the Dolphins tonight. So Cincinnati is now 6-2, and since they've beaten New England, I wonder if maybe Patriots fans shouldn't think about Miami holding the home fort on this one.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. And, you know, just for the sake of the state of Florida, it would be nice to see a Florida team win, you know, soon, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no fooling. Because
if you go back, wait to hear this one. If you go back to last year, now Jacksonville has lost 13 games in a row going back to last year. Tampa is 0-7.
Wow.
And the Dolphins have lost four straight since being 3-0. That means the Florida teams are on a 24-game losing streak right now.
That's wow. Good Lord of mercy.
I mean,
you can't make that up, can you?
No, you can't make that up. And this is not going to be an easy task for Miami as well, who can't protect the quarterback. 32 sacks allowed in seven games.
Yeah.
You know, whatever this incident is with Jonathan Martin, who I don't think is going to play tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they traded for Brian McKinney.
Mm-hmm.
They started him at left tackle. Jonathan Martin moved over to right tackle. You know, last week, gave up six more sacks.
Mm.
So, I mean, you know, almost in real disappointment. They got off to such a good start, their best start since 2002.
Mm-hmm.
I think that loss at Buffalo, I mean, the loss to Buffalo at home.
Crushed them.
Was really crippling for them.
Right.
And so on. And then last week, you know, they're up 14. They lose by 10.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not sure what's going on down there. Mike Wallace obviously has been a disappointment. They lost Brandon Gibson, who was a pleasant surprise as a free agent, but now he's gone. And Cincinnati is feeling. How's this? I'm going to, only for the sake of using 16 as a gauge, John. Am I going to eliminate the Bengals' playoff loss last year from the stat I'm going to give you?
Okay.
Take Cincinnati's final eight games last year and their first eight games this year. 13-3.
Wow. I didn't realize, honestly, I really didn't realize it was that good.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so I'll add the playoff game, 13-4.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But remember, they were 7-1 last year and lost their only game in the regular season by 1 point to Dallas. This year, they, you know, 2-2 out of the gates. They put in four in a row. That defense is pretty good. You know, they're not going to have Leon Hall, but that front line is as good as any, and it's a very deep defense. And Andy Dalton, 11 touchdowns, 2 picks the last 3 weeks. He's starting to feel it a little now.
Right.
I love their rookies, Tyler Eifert and Giovanni Bernard. And they're still even like scratching the surface with those guys. And my favorite irony part of week 8 last year is how on earth do the New York Jets, who used to employ a linebacker named Marvin Jones, and a pretty good one, you know, how did they give up 4 touchdown passes to a game night?
I'm not sure.
Marvin Jones.
Not sure. Not sure. We all kind of figured that the Jets just had a Patriots hangover. That was one of the main reasons why they were able to get whacked last week.
No, do you know what the real problem is? The Jets have not won 2 games in a row or lost 2 games in a row all season. They are exactly like a windshield wiper. Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss.
Wow.
Which means they'll beat the Saints this week.
Yeah, I was about to say, does that mean good news for them getting the Saints this week?
Yeah, they'll beat the Saints and then they'll lose the following week.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, but the Saints bring in a team that's obviously 6-1 and could probably be classified, certainly outside of Seattle, could be classified as the best team in the NFC, but, you know, they are not the same team on the road as they have been at home, so do the Jets bounce back?
Well, I think it's definitely possible. It's not like there's going to be a lot of fooling going on here. There's this one guy named Rex Ryan, and there's another guy named Rob Ryan.
Yeah, that's right. They get to go at each other.
Right. And also going to be not a lot of fooling, because even though we're in different places, correct me if I'm wrong, the last couple of years when Marty Morningwig was in Philadelphia calling plays or helping call plays, Rob Ryan was in Dallas trying to stop those plays.
Yeah, right.
So there's not a lot of mystery here for two teams that will only play each other every 4 years. The Saints, the danger for them here is if New York gets that running game going like they did a couple times this year, and especially against the Patriots, the Saints' defense is better, but it's still pretty mediocre when it comes to stopping the run.
Yeah.
Drew Brees doesn't throw many touchdown passes from the sideline, so I would think that's what they're going to attempt. And when I say running, I mean former Saint Chris Ivory and Bilal Powell and certainly Geno Smith as well.
Right. Right. All right. Hang on just a second, Russell, because what I want to do, hey, Kevin, if you can do me a favor, let's see if we can redial Russell, because his conversation right there at the end started to come out again. And so rather than get every third word, let's see if we can bring him back up and redial him and bring him in, because I want to make sure that we don't miss anything. So stand by for just a moment. We'll get Russell right back, because it sounded like if he's traveling, he's in a down area at some point in time. But we'll look. We looked at already the Bengals at the Dolphins on the Thursday night game tonight. Bengals 6-2, Dolphins 3-4 overall, and then within the AFC East division, the Saints 6-1. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday, playing at the New York Jets with a 4-4 record overall, but 3-1 at home overall. And that certainly will be, I think, a relatively interesting matchup when you look at the fact that it will be the Ryan brothers going at each other. I wonder if that's any better. Do you think it is, Russell?
I think so. I certainly hope so.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Yeah, you sound completely different. So thank you very much. That's good.
Okay. No, I turned up the volume on my phone as well.
Okay, that's fine. We were starting to get every third word, I think, on your conversation there. All right.
Yeah, we don't want to be sounding like 18.5, that 18.5 thing to tape again. We have to go down that path.
Yeah, right? Well, we've done that before, so we've done that often. All right, so within the division, after we leave the Saints and the Jets, the Buffalo Bills get a chance to put the first dent in the bandwagon that are the Kansas City Chiefs at 8-0. And yes, the Chiefs have to go on the road to play Buffalo. I'm not feeling too confident about it, though.
No. Listen, the one thing the Chiefs have done all year is keep teams out of the end zone a lot. They've given up at least 20 points in every game they played this year.
Right.
Kansas City has held every team to 17 or less. So we saw last week the Bills not score 20 on their own for the first time and get held down by the Saints 35-17. Here's one, you know, I had to look at this number twice. The Bills have given up at least 2 touchdown passes in 7 of their 8 games this year, John.
At least 2.
And already, after 8 games, they've given up 20 touchdown passes.
That's a season's worth for more than everybody.
that's, I mean, Last year, you saw 23, 24, 25, a couple of 30s.
Yeah.
But 20 in eight games, that's easy if you're going to prorate and do the math, but 20 in eight games, obviously five to Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Last week, but three to Andy Dalton in there. I think three to Ryan Tannehill in there, I believe. I think it's 11 the last 3 weeks. So, again, promising rookies. Be interesting to see what the quarterback situation is this week. But tall order, that Kansas City team knows how to run the football. Jamaal Charles is now leading the entire NFL in yards from scrimmage. By the way, isn't it funny? He's one in yards from scrimmage. LeSean McCoy is two in yards from scrimmage. Gee, do you think there's any correlation with Andy Reid there?
Yeah, might be. There absolutely might be.
I just don't know if Buffalo has enough. Unless Mario Williams has one of those days where Alex Smith is hit and gives up the ball three or four times. Not necessarily interception-wise, John.
Fumbles. Yeah, I was just going to say, I even though it doesn't look like this is a candidate, for that kind of a game, Buffalo seems to have come up with these types of games in the past, especially when they get teams at home, against really good teams to pull a surprise and make some noise. And I know that Doug Marrone, in his first year as head coach there, has gotten a lot of credit already for being competitive, even if they're not really beating people. And so, if by some chance Buffalo limits their mistakes and forces Kansas City into some uncharacteristic mistakes of their own, which obviously is one of the trademarks of the turnaround this year as opposed to last year that they played, then you know what? I think Buffalo, one of those situations where they keep it close, they might have a chance to steal one in the end.
I don't disagree with that at all. I absolutely don't disagree with that at all. And if this is one of those nip and tuck games, Kansas City's been winning them all year, but Buffalo, to me, Kansas City doesn't run away from anybody. That's the thing to keep in mind. Even Cleveland last week hung in there, 23-17. They've won two 17-16 games.
Yeah, right.
This year, they're not a team that. It's not like Denver. Denver. All of a sudden, the blink of an eye, they're down 14. They win by 24. And I actually think this is the perfect candidate. Loud stadium. The Bills have, they don't have a great defense, but they have some excellent defensive players. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I think we're still waiting for it to all kind of come together. Offensively, I don't know what, I know Thaddeus Lewis is banged up, and I don't know what his status necessarily is for the week. But I'm just going to be curious to see. Let's put it this way. If Buffalo wins this game, they'll have at least one defensive or special team score.
Yeah. I'll definitely buy that. I'll definitely go along with that.
Right.
So Patriots fans, in terms of rooting interest this week, Dolphins and Bills, you definitely want to root for considering the opposition they're playing. But as far as the Jets are concerned, hey, you've already beaten the Saints and you would like to put a little more space between you and New York and the division. So you might want to look at the Saints pulling off the road win at the Meadowlands.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I think you've got your rooting interest down pat.
Yeah, I think so. All right, let's a couple of the things that I wanted to look at. Number one, the Colts playing at the Texans. It's the Sunday night game. Doesn't really appear to me to be a game on the surface, but the Texans continue to be an enigma to me. And I know that now that they've decided that they're going with the kid from Houston at quarterback, University of Houston at quarterback, over Matt Schaub. They're back at home. They're 2-5. The Colts, all of a sudden, they while they've beaten Denver, I don't know that they convinced me just yet that they should be considered a true contender in the AFC. And if the Texans still have some life left in them, it's got to start this week, does it not?
Yes, and I don't know if you're going to ask me about this other game, but there's two teams in similar situations this week. One's playing at home, one's playing on the road. And if either one of them intends on getting back in the playoff/division race, now is the time. And you don't like to say that in the eighth game of the season or the ninth game of the season, but you start to run out of time, especially if you start losing divisional games.
Right.
And I'm referring to Houston, and I'm referring to the Atlanta Falcons.
Falcons, yes.
Go to Carolina this week.
Correct, yeah.
And, to me, after losing last week, giving up over 200 yards rushing to the Cardinals. That's not exactly the wishbone offense there.
Yeah.
They don't get a lot of running yards. Houston in the same boat. If Houston is going to make any kind of a run, and by the way, if you notice what has happened with the Colts, or I should say what happened to the rest of the division, you know, it wasn't that long ago that Houston was 2-0 and the Colts were 1-1, John. And over the course of the last month or so, Indianapolis won. We saw them beat Denver the last time we saw them play. They're coming off a bye. Houston is on a 5-game losing streak. Tennessee is on a 3-game losing streak. And Jacksonville hasn't won a game this year. So just going back to the start of this year, the rest of the teams in the division have lost 16 straight games. And you wonder why the Colts are suddenly have a big lead in the AFC South. But I think Houston gets them here and keeps things alive.
Mm-hmm.
Both are coming off a bye week. And, I've seen the Colts on the road. I saw them kind of flatten as far as couldn't score a touchdown against the San Diego Chargers. The one thing you still see out of Houston is playing pretty good defense. And their one weak area has been against the run, and I don't know if the Colts are strong enough there to exploit it. So I see a lot of J.J. Watt. I see a lot of Whitney Merciless, and I think Houston stays alive by getting a huge win.
One of the team I think that can stay alive this week and probably would be in position to put themselves and thrust themselves really back into the mix would be the Ravens. They're on the road at Cleveland. Odd that, you know, the defending Super Bowl champs are 3-4 overall, but, you know, Cleveland wins this game, they got to feel like, you know, they still got a snowball's chance as well coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Cleveland, very important because they've already lost to the Ravens once this year. Can't afford to. Maybe they did beat the Bengals, though. They were the last team to beat the Bengals, so they got to be feeling good about their chances. But here's a weird number, because when you think about the Ravens and their consistency, including the playoffs last year, John, which, of course, they swept all four games to win Super Bowl 47, the Ravens in their last 16 games are 8-8.
16 games, 8-8. That's
they were 1-4 at the end of the year.
Right.
And then, of course, they won four postseason. I mean, you can take away the playoffs, and the Ravens are 4-8 in their last 12 regular season games.
That's incredible.
That is very, really? Very un-Raven-like, especially under the John Harbaugh era where they've never not made the playoffs.
And that's what put Joe Flacco into the multimillionaire, you know, realm as well.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Wow.
I mean, but, again, if you even include the postseason run last year, they're a 500 football team the last 16 times they've taken the field.
Wow. Wow. I guess that just did not dawn on me at all. At all. That's pretty mediocre for a team that won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it, again, look at the way they played at the end of the last year with the turnovers. I mean, they beat the Giants late in the year. But remember, I mean, they lost at home to Pittsburgh with Charlie Batch at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They got smoked by Denver, the team they wound up beating
mm-hmm.
in the playoffs
mm-hmm.
at home. You know, so they really. They went into the postseason with no momentum whatsoever. And this year they've played a lot of close games, win some, lose some. But the bottom line is they're under 500. They're in rare air under this Harbaugh era. Joe Flacco's, you know, been so-so. The running game has been non-existent. And the defense has been erratic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's why they're 3-4. Then let's move on to the subject at hand. The Steelers are 2-5. They're not in a dissimilar situation to either the Houston Texans or the Baltimore Ravens, as we just talked about. The Patriots somehow, some way, have cobbled their way to a 6-2 mark, and probably should have lost last week and found a way to score 24 unanswered on the Dolphins, as we referred to last week, and in coming from 10 points down, 14 points down to win that game. So, but this is not a typical Steelers team, and we all know it already that it's not a typical Patriots team. Ben Roethlisberger called this a must-win earlier this week, and they probably had a couple of games like that already. Is this a muster win for the Steelers?
Well, because if they lost their loss last week to the Raiders, they put themselves in that position. You know, after beating the Jets and looking like they had a little momentum, you know, they go out to Oakland, and Terrell Pryor runs 93 yards for a touchdown on the first play from scrimmage.
Yeah.
Roethlisberger sacked five times, a couple of interceptions, just overall sloppiness. And listen, they're playing better defensively to a degree. They're not nearly as good against the run as they have been for, you know, more than a decade or so. And that's how you can exploit them a little now. And I can see New England doing that to them. And as much as New England has been up and down in terms of scoring points, the Steelers, for the most part, have been down.
Mm.
Even in beating the Jets and the Ravens, they only scored 19 points in each game. They only scored 18 points last week, which actually plays perfectly into the hands. You notice I just mentioned 19, 19, and 18.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I find it very interesting that the Patriots' defense, in terms of yards allowed, is ranked 19th in the NFL.
Leave it to you to find the parallel.
Ironic,
yeah,
is the fact that the Patriots are giving up exactly
18
points per game.
Nice. Okay, so that's what the Steelers are scoring. So when I said I predicted earlier 30-20 for the Patriots, I probably should have couched that just a bit and said 28-18.
Probably. You see, I like and think about it this way, 19-18.
Yeah, let's bring that in. Yeah, let's bring that in the equation. Why not? Let's just pile on all the symmetry we can.
Yeah, isn't that funny what you can do? No, you know what? 30-20, I think you're about right there. I think that's not, I mean, 20, what's the difference between 20 and 19 and 18?
Yeah, well, safety.
You know, right around that realm. The Steelers, listen, it's a down year. Are they capable of doing something? You know, the one thing they could do is put some heat on Brady and hope he makes a couple mistakes, okay? But when you watch the Steelers' offensive line play, and again, they had a couple of injuries last week, but all in all, I mean, that's among the worst units in the league in terms of performance. Certainly not the names, but certainly performance. I mean, they bench Mike Adams, they traded for Levi Brown. Levi Brown wound up getting hurt, never playing for them. You know, it's been, they just, speaking of former Patriots, they just cut Zoltan Mesko.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, so it is, late last year was very un-Pittsburgh-like. This is even more un-Pittsburgh-like. It happens to everybody. And then again, over the last decade or so, it doesn't happen to New England. And that's why people should appreciate what you're seeing. You know, do people realize that even if the Pats go 3-5 the rest of the year, and I'm not saying they're going to, the point I'm only making is that would still guarantee them a 13th straight winning season.
Yep, and the way that it's going, Russell, 9-7 could get him in the dance too.
That's fine, but 13 straight winning seasons. Go back and look at the all-time records in terms of winning seasons. That's one of the all-time records in NFL history.
Yep, that's what
we're 12th is tied to the 12 years, which they are right now.
Right,
is tied to the seventh longest streak in the history of the NFL.
Well,
why I keep on calling them a dynasty.
Right, and in that sense, they probably are more of a dynasty than certainly the Red Sox, but, you know, that's why we kind of open up the discussion that way today, because, you know, we've had this conversation before, and it's kind of on the forefront of the thought process of a lot of New England sports fans today, especially baseball fans in the area, and so we thought we'd put it to the one test that we know we could put it to, and how does it stack up against what the Patriots have done?
Absolutely. In fact, I'll bring it completely full circle. The Patriots are a dynasty. And after what happened last year with the Red Sox, they're just kind of like a soap opera.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth? In more ways than one.
But 3 times they've grabbed the Emmy for best show.
You just keep coming up with them, brother. Listen, you have a very happy Halloween. I wish a wonderful night to your daughter, and I hope that Dad really scores big in the intake department.
What are the odds I can get some sushi from somebody?
God, I hope not. That would have to be have to be nasty.
I mean, listen, if you're going to knock on somebody's door, why ask for junk? Why don't you get? I'm going to see how I can pull, you know, like a New York strip or something like that.
You know that, or you go in my old neighborhood where I used to live when my kids were younger, and the parents that we knew, they saw us standing out there on the sidewalk as the kids were up at the door, they would always wave to us and say, "Hey, got something for Daddy or two?" And they'd throw us a cold one.
What do you think the neighbors will be suspicious if I give Helen Stop and Shop shopping bags instead of a trick or treat bag?
Fill her up. Trick or treat. Fill her up. All right, Russell. Thank you, sir. Have fun with your family tonight, and we'll talk next week.
You got it, my friend.
Thanks. All right, so that's Russell Baxter, the one and only pro football guru. Catch him on profootballguru.com, Cold Hard Football Facts, Bleacher Report, Yahoo Sports. It's all of the above. He does all of this great stuff for us, for you on those websites, and for us right here in the Playbook every Thursday. Let me get to some score predictions now to wrap up the program, and then we'll set you instead for what we're going to try to come up with for next week, being the bye week, as we're officially at the halfway point of the NFL season. Stunning as it is. This is week 9 for the Patriots. You play over 17 weeks in the regular season. So you've played 8 and you got 8 more to go. So this is the smack dab middle of the season. And some of what we'll be doing next week, we'll be talking about, you know, midseason grades and all that kind of stuff. Jose says, John, last week everything I predicted happened. Offense struggled. Defense made the plays. This I feel the same way. The offense will continue with the struggles and the defense is going to put them in the position to win the game. So I predict Pats 28-20. And after the bye week, we will see a whole new team. Both sides of the ball will be able to overcome their adversities. Mike says, Canadian Mike in Florida says, I know this is the $64,000 question, but in your opinion, if Gronk is healthy and back to normal, along with Vereen, Amendola, and Talib back and healthy, and assuming we don't incur any more major injuries, how far can we go? I know a lot of ifs, starting to look like we may never see this happen. As far as my prediction this week, Brady and Gronk connect twice, we win 27-17. Go Pats. You know, Mike, if everybody's back healthy and everybody is able to get into sync and get into their role and get into their quote-unquote, you know, playoff mode or preseason shape or I mean, midseason shape or what have you, you know, I think this team can, and I believe the PFW guys were discussing this a little yesterday. Or was it earlier today? It may have been earlier today. I really honestly don't remember. I think they can beat Denver. I think we'll know a heck of a lot more when Denver comes here. And I think that the Patriots can certainly beat Denver here because Denver's defense, you know, obviously is having some difficulties. Now, if you're telling me that they're going to go to Denver and have to win a game, that will certainly be more difficult. So you're at the stage of the season now where you're at the halfway point, and we had a caller earlier say this today. Now you can start looking at, you know, seedings and potential matchups on down the line and what other teams are doing, and because you've got half the season gone. So there's more of a focus on what could happen ahead and how it would stack up leading into December and how, you know, teams could, you know, end up seeding themselves going into the postseason. So we can start looking at it now after the bye week. The Patriots will either be 7-2 or 6-3. And think about that for just a second. Doesn't 7-2 sound a heck of a lot better than 6-3 right now? Oh, it sounds almost light years better. If you're 7-2, and let's say the Jets lose to the Saints, which is certainly possible, even though the Jets are at home this week. But if you're 7-2, you have just given yourself once again a 3-game lead in the division with 7 to play. Now that seems like you're getting close to insurmountable, even though you split with the Jets. So it's close, and you still have a couple of division games to play. You know, I think it would certainly put the pressure on you to make sure that you finish 5-1 in the division, because then you're going to win all the tiebreakers. So, yeah, I mean, 7-2 sounds like you are in position to play for seeding. You are in position to move toward a possible first-round bye, which is what every team really wants. Whether they get it or even need it is another question, but that's what everybody shoots for. And that's why it also, you know, begs, I think, to watch what Kansas City's doing every week. Watch what Cincinnati does every week, because Cincinnati holds the tiebreaker against the Patriots by virtue of that 13-6 win a couple of weeks ago. So there's a reason to watch Cincinnati and Miami tonight in the Thursday night game. And there's a reason to pay attention to what the Chiefs will have to do on the road at Buffalo this week. I think they can. I don't know if they will, but that hopefully will answer some of your question there, Mike. Let's go to Trey from Dallas, who says, Pats win 28-14. LaShauna says Patriots 34-17. Gustavo from Mission, Texas. I send you an email early on. I was using my smartphone and the words automatically autofilled themselves. Don't you hate when that does that? It sounded like I didn't know English or what I was talking about. I also agree with that. So I'm just giving you my prediction. I've been a Pats fan since 2001, and after 9/11, I got so patriotic, I joined to be a Patriots fan ever since leaving here in Texas, having two NFL teams. I never really liked the Cowboys or the Houston Texans. I used to like the Oilers, but then they were sold to Tennessee, so after that, I didn't like the NFL teams we had. Gustavo makes perfect sense to me. He says, Patriots 31, Steelers 16. Go Pats. Thank you, Gustavo. Jeff in Florida. The big blockhead Gronk will look more in game shape and help improve the passing game overall. 31-17, Patriots. Steven sends this note. He says, I just wanted to write in and say that I knew Eric's word of the day. That may be a first. I hope that Brady throws the ball like a trebuchet. Yeah, don't we all? Because he's been throwing it like a water balloon lately. Sean says, the perfect Halloween costume for CBS announcer Jim Nance would be Patriots great Jim Nance. That's a good one. He probably doesn't remember that, although I know he knows who, you know, former Patriot running back Jim Nance is, but you're absolutely right. Patriots Hall of Famer Jim Nance. Let's go that far, right? Dave in Lancaster, California says Patriots win 20-17. So he's going with a close one like Eric did. He said 23-20 earlier. Mo in Vienna, Virginia says ESPN reported a possible hammy with Gronk yesterday. Yes? No? All we can tell you is that the injury report had him as questionable with a hamstring. He didn't appear, based on what we saw out there, to be any worse for the rear, but that's what was reported. So obviously the team reported that. That's how ESPN would have gotten the report to begin with, from us. So, yes, my guess is it's largely because of the relative football inactivity that he has gone through this year, and usually the hamstrings are the last thing to catch up with the rest of the body. That's just sort of a physiological thing, especially in football. Hopefully, it won't be enough to keep him out. But he was on the practice report. It's just he's questionable. We were talking about worst to first teams earlier in comparison with the Red Sox going from worst to first. And the 2000 Patriots, before they won the Super Bowl in 01, 2000 Patriots, as we recall, how soon do we forget, in Bill Belichick's first year, were 5-11. So they went from 5-11 to a Super Bowl champ in 1 year. The Ravens in 99 were a pedestrian 8-8 before they won the Super Bowl. So they weren't quite as bad as we thought. Thank you to Sean for pointing that out. Steven says, my prediction is 24-21, Patriots win by a field goal. I've always loved Reese's Cups. My favorite Sox player, Curt Schilling. I've always had a soft spot for the quarterback of baseball, but I'm also a huge fan of David Ortiz. So congratulations to the Red Sox. Go Patriots, Boston strong. Nicely done. By the way, Dave O'Brien, the radio voice of the Red Sox, one of the radio voices of the Red Sox, ended his call last night of the final out the Red Sox are 2013 world champs, and the Red Sox are Boston strong. It was a great call. Very understated, but very appropriate when you consider everything that transpired over the course of the year with the marathon bombings and all. Joshua from Stratford, Connecticut again. Love the show. Just a few questions. What are your thoughts on not getting a wide receiver before the trade deadline, and do you think we'll match up against the Broncos? How do you think we'll match up? I'm not totally surprised first that they did not get a wide receiver, because I think that was something that, you know, was certainly lukewarm on their wish list, even though we were sort of speculating about that over the course of the last week or so. And I do think there is some credit to the fact that they have decided to stick, you know, come hell or high water, with the Wookiees and make those guys the de facto guys that hey, these are our guys. We're going to ride with them this year. And when you add the fact that, you know, a healthier, or at least hopefully a getting healthier Rob Gronkowski is going to continue to be targeted, and hopefully we'll get open and we'll be able to make a few catches here and there, it just probably didn't make sense to, you know, muss up what they're trying to get going. As far as the matchup with the Broncos, as I just stated a few minutes ago, Josh, I think the actual matchup pretty favorably here. I want to continue to see how the health progresses, and I want to see Aqib Talib back on the defensive side of the ball. I want to see how Sopawaga, can fit into the mix, and hopefully, in effect, replace Vince Wilfork inside and help the linebackers, be better at their jobs. And if he can come in and have even half of the impact that Wilfork had to start the year, then I think the Patriots defense will be in good shape. And I think that they can slow, the rampant, Denver offense down enough to where hopefully by the time these two teams get ready to play next month, that, the Patriots can have a chance to win the game without a doubt. Jason from Cork, Ireland. I'm going with the Pats to win 24-21. Steelers will be tough, especially after losing to Oakland, but Brady and Gronk both have good games and get it done. Thanks, John. Love the show, and happy Halloween. You guys have Halloween in Ireland? That's cool. Mark in Saskatchewan. I think the Patriots roll this week, 31-16. Start putting things together on offense. I think Gronk gets his first TD after getting that one called back last week. And for Halloween, three buddies and I are all going as Jaromir Jagr's with the team jerseys he played for and the sick mullets he used to rock in the early 90s. Like the Hanson brothers. Yeah! I would expect no less from someone who lives in Saskatchewan. And lastly, the best candy on Halloween is the Sour Patch Kid candies. That makes my teeth hurt just thinking about it. Woo. Stripper sent me a nice news story. Can I read this? Yeah. Oh, yeah. A Fargo, North Dakota woman named Cheryl called into a radio station there this week to tell them about her plan to ruin Halloween. Cheryl explained that instead of candy, she's going to hand out letters to children that she considers obese in order to chastise parents to step up and end unhealthy eating habits. She also provided a copy of the letter. I just want to send a message to the parents of kids that are really overweight. I think it's just really irresponsible of parents to send them out looking for free candy just because all the other kids are doing it. March on, sister. March on. Mark in Oakville, Ontario. A lot of Canadians here. Congrats to the Sox on a lopsided win. Couple of comments. Last week, Logan Ryan and Stephen Ridley were kept out of the first half of the game but made an immediate impact in the second half. Pat started to make big plays. I trust these two will figure prominently from the start of the game this week. Brady has had an off year in his personal performance, but I've noticed he seems to be playing with more courage. Costume inspector choice, Clouseau. Pats will score. They'll cover provided Ridley and Logan play. He says 27-17. Good enough. Sean writes in, Halloween is my favorite holiday. I am Vibrato, the human vibrator. Come on. Really? Does anyone know why Ridley is not getting the ball more? I want to know why you're the vibrator. If he finally carries more than 20 times, the Pats will have an easy win. But I don't think he will. So I'll say Pats 24, Steelers 20. Sean, the human vibrator from Vancouver. Sven from Sweden says Patriots lose 30-27. Oh, my goodness. We got a loser prediction here. Sven says Pittsburgh 30, Patriots 27. Wow. Steve and Killeen, I'm going with Pats 31, Steelers 19. I feel this game, the Pats have the pieces in place to give a full 60 minutes and are able to convert on third down. All right. Excellent. Let me wrap up with a couple of more here. Mary Beth says, my Halloween costume is a classic witch, though my staff says I do fly on my broom most days. Ha ha. My candy is Almond Joy. My prediction, 28-17 Patriots. Her hero, though not unsung, is Dustin Pedroia of the Red Sox. Michael says, prediction Thursday, Rottenberger and the Steelers roll into town. Will their Pouncy brothers be with them and be served at this game? No kidding. Well, their Pouncy brother, as the other one apparently was this last week. The Patriots offense will have its issues again with some drops. Always mending something. Ola will leave this game, but the home field advantage will help. New England 30, Pittsburgh 16. He says, what are you going to be for Halloween? You can be a junior broadcaster. Oh, you already are. Gee, thanks, Mike. Yeah. Chris says, John, score 27-13, Pat. Sorry I was late, busy working. No excuse. Drop and give me 20, Chris. Nori says, Pats 34, Steelers 17. I'm expecting the D-line to get after the QB. Allen says, John, this week I'm picking the Patriots to win big 33-10. Gary says, John, I'm a mailman in Illinois. As I listened to yesterday's podcast, I ask one question for today's show. If Patriot Whisperer Steve calls in today, could you have Kevin adjust the volume? Yours was fine. Couldn't make out one single word he said. He's a great caller, just very soft-spoken.
Is that Stephen Killeen?
Yes.
Yeah, he is soft-spoken.
Yes, he is. But we give Steve all the credit in the world because he's one smart dude. So that's what I think anyway. There you go. All right, that's it for today. Our thanks to guests Jim Nance from CBS, Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, Escal, of course, from PFW. My thanks to you for all of your input, your score predictions, your candy choices, your Halloween costumes, go Red Sox and all that kind of good stuff today. Oh, Brett just posted in Patriots 27, Steelers 14. Get that one in as well. My thought was 30-20, Patriots over the Steelers. We'll see if it works out. We've got yearbooks on the line. Final question, though, Kevin. Where's my yearbook? I had a right score last week, too. I haven't seen it yet this week.
You're not eligible.
Come on.
You're on the payroll. It's like how Mass Lottery, their employees can't win the lottery.
Damn.
It's the life you lead, John Rook.
I suppose. Same patch time, same patch channel next Tuesday. It's bye week next week, which means only one thing. Game Show Thursday will be a part of it all next week. You're going to want to make an appointment for this time next week, Thursday, opening hour of the program. It'll be 2 p.m. Eastern time. Okay? We'll talk more about it on Tuesday and Wednesday show. We got Nitpick Tuesday coming up on Tuesday. Regular schedule next week, even though there's no game. And then Thursday, we have some fun in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.